Welcome to the Wine Vault! On the first episode of Season 5, Rob, Scott, and Becky all review wine from Israel in Galil Mountain Winery's Cabernet Sauvignon. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault! Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight is the first episode of Season 5. Five years, actually, now.
I didn't know we could count that high.
And that we can't. But what were we going to do at six, you know? Go to the other hand. Oh, that's good.
Dang it.
On tonight's show, folks, I am joined by a Scotian licensed taxi driver.
Good evening. It's good to be here for a fifth season.
I'm also joined by the Triple B.
Good evening.
And he's here as well. His name is Bo.
The Wonder Dog.
Yeah. I wonder if he is a dog. He kind of looks like a mop. But yeah. Mops are cleaner after you clean a bathroom. But that's okay. On tonight's show, folks, speaking of toilet humor. No. Mm. Possibly. I don't know. I have no expectations about this wine.
We're taking a trip to a new place.
We are. We are. And that's always important.
I'm excited.
Important. Yeah.
I think on a wine journey, it's important to taste wines from different places.
Same.
Yes. And this is Gagy Mountain Winery's Cabernet Sauvignon. And Gagy Mountain is a winery in Israel. More specifically, for those that know the geography of Israel, so there's two of you, it's Upper Galilee. So just south of Lebanon. Well, all of Israel is south of Lebanon. But this is the most northern part, essentially. West of the Golan Heights as well.
Do you know the way to Upper Galilee?
You understand.
That didn't go well.
At all. Normally, your little jingles don't go well, but that was an absolute train wreck. I let it happen because I just wanted to see how bad it was done.
I thought that would work out.
Don't make any jokes about this area because what? I feel like it's all super...
What?
There's a lot of tension, a lot of... I don't know. A lot of people that get real heated and emotional about everything, so I don't do any jokes about this area.
I like to sing
about other places in the world, too.
We have already. I mean, if it wasn't already emotional, we've turned places in the world, I think, emotional.
Fair.
And normally James Suckling's house in Tuscany. Douchebag. Anyway, so the Gagy Mountain Winery. And I bought this a while back. It's available on wine.com. Well, it's unavailable currently because they're sold through it. But they do carry this winery. You just have to check periodically during the year because they only get shipments a certain... So say it comes in May or June. Okay, they're going to have X amount of cases. They'll sell through it. Then it'll be out until the next May or June. That's how it works. $16.99, I do believe. Gagy Mountain, though, has a full line. This, I think, was the only thing available at the time. But... And they range anywhere from the teens like this all the way up to about $50 or so for their single vineyard stuff. By the way, it's kosher, in case you were wondering. It says that on there. So that's always important as well. Not to me, but to someone, well, it might be. So the question is, why drink wine from Israel? Well, we're going to try to answer that question tonight. I know that you should drink wine from Lebanon. I will say that, because Lebanon makes amazing wine. Amazing.
Then why
wines.
Haven't we had any?
Because it's expensive.
You know, I had a Lebanese wine when the Cafe Mediterranean was owned by the initial ownership, not the folks who have it now.
Mm-hmm.
And he had Lebanese wines by the pour.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Chateau Moussard, I think I've mentioned that before, is an elite. It's
Huh.
Maybe not first growth, but second or third growth. Well, third growth comparable to Bordeaux.
That's so interesting that you've had Lebanese wine and I haven't.
No, you haven't.
And how many bottles of wine did we get in the mail today?
None. It was FedEx. That is a shipping company.
How many bottles of wine did we get via FedEx today?
Five.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What's that have to do with the price of tea in China?
Something that we all need to discuss is there is a state maximum for how much wine you can have shipped to your house.
Oh, we've exceeded that.
Well, I think in Ohio it's like 24 cases
a
year.
We're good. Yeah, we're fine.
I only found out about it because there's someone that I follow on social media that lives in Tennessee where they have, I think, a case a month or something like that. But they own a business out of their home and they like gift it, you know, so they're like getting in a lot of like champagne and stuff and like handing it out. And they got a letter from wine.com sent to their lawyer that they weren't allowed to ship them any more wine.
Wow.
I know. And I was like, we have to be getting close to approaching that because.
I doubt it. That's a lot of wine.
It's a lot of wine. We get a lot of wine.
That'd be like 500 bottles.
Yeah.
Like I said this morning, we got 5 bottles.
Yeah, that's not a case.
Rob is besties with the FedEx guy.
Well, I answered the door in my underwear today, so we're definitely really close now.
Mm-hmm. So awkward.
I didn't care. I look good.
Uh-huh.
Sure. Boxer briefs, baby. Boxer briefs. So. I'm just saying. Give him a thrill. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah, I bet that was the highlight of that person's day.
I bet it was. He was just taking mental photographs. So, folks, with that thought in your mind, we're going to take a break. But be right back here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. And we're back, folks. So the Gaiy Mountain Winery Cabernet Sauvignon from Israel. Or Israel. On their website, I think it's interesting. It's not interesting, but it's amusing. They have like a little gizmo thing on their website where they want to be able to tell you what wine that they sell suits you the best. And they have 4 questions to answer that, okay? So the first question is, where are you drinking the wine? Okay? And the options would be, hold on a second, I gotta get down there.
At the front door with my FedEx man in underwear?
Yeah, basically.
Half nude, yes. Picnic in nature.
Okay.
A neighborhood cafe.
Oh.
A Jeep tour. A beach. A special restaurant. Or your office. Where would I collectively, all of us, where would we collectively decide we'd want to drink at? I mean, we'd drink anywhere. Especially on a Jeep tour.
The office. I feel like where we're quarantined, like a neighborhood cafe sounds so lovely.
All right.
That would be my vote.
Neighborhood cafe. So next, who are you drinking it with? Are you drinking it with your roommate? The love of your life? By yourself? A good friend? A work colleague? Relative? First date? Neighbor? Whoa. Important customer from abroad? Or prostitute? What?
Let's do important customer from abroad.
Oh, sorry.
A FedEx man in my driveway in my underwear.
Yeah.
Concubine? What is this? Okay. Important customer from abroad. Okay, that's good. When are you drinking it? Midweek? Dream weekend? Holiday evening? Afternoon? Day off? Warm weekend? Or a wintry weekend?
Wintry weekend.
Do we concur with that? Wintry weekend. Okay. And then one more to go. Why are you drinking it? Is it because of a marriage proposal? Or a birthday? Or no reason at all? Or you're closing a deal, which is also be a marriage proposal, but work promotion? Or because you won the lottery?
Or because you're trying to, you know, make a good impression on the FedEx guy in your driveway in your underwear?
That's right.
How'd that work out for you?
Got my wine, didn't I?
Is that twinkle in your eye?
That's right. Any ideas why we're drinking this wine in the neighborhood cafe with somebody from abroad?
Business deal.
What were the other options?
Marriage proposal, birthday, no reason at all.
No reason at all.
No reason at all. There's no reason at all to drink, Scott. That's okay. No reason at all. So the wine that Gailly Mountain recommends for that would be, and it's obviously their wine. It's their mountain white wine. It's a blend of Viognier and Sauvignon Blanc.
I kind of like that sounding blend.
I know you would.
Why wouldn't I?
Yes, that's a go on there, folks, and I don't know why. I mean, it's very exciting to you, I'm sure, because it's very arbitrary as to what you're doing, but nevertheless.
They have a very artsy video that they play, too, that is, you know, classic scenes of wines and the vineyards, but then there's arbitrary people, including a gymnast with the hoops and rings, like at the Olympics, in shadow. It's just weird. You've got all these traditional wine scenes, and then there's this Olympic rhythmic gymnast.
Rhythmic gymnast.
Unusual.
Yes. In the Upper Galilee, there are a few wineries. There's Adir, Capasoto, Dalton, which is where I would go.
Why would you go to Dalton?
Because it's named Dalton. So I'm thinking Patrick Swayze's character from Roadhouse will be there, beating the shit out of people.
But I think you're actually thinking about the FedEx guy.
That might be true. Maybe his name is Dalton. I didn't ask. Oh, God. Anyway, Gailly Mountain, Kishore, Ludera, which I can't pronounce, and Tabor. Gailly Mountain, though, they have comments about all this stuff. You know what they say about them? A facility designed with the visitor in mind. That's all they can say about it. Other ones are like Pioneer of Galilee, dairy and winery in one setting, family-owned winery. No. This one is facility designed with the visitor in mind.
A dairy and winery in one facility.
Why not?
That's because one of those things just doesn't belong here.
I don't know. Have you ever been to one?
Have you ever been to a dairy?
Yes.
Yeah. A dairy and a winery don't really go together.
Yeah, and I feel like it would be more difficult to keep things kosher.
Wait, Scott. Right? Scott, have you ever been to a winery?
Yes, I've been to a winery. Oh,
okay. Well, kosher is basic.
Is meat and animal products, right?
I don't know.
Kosher's, there can be meat and animal products in kosher, right?
I don't know.
I think it has to be handled a certain way, yes, right? But I'm just saying, I feel like keeping something kosher with wine and animals would be like more difficult.
Just imagine how non-kosher Fry Brothers are.
Just imagine how non-kosher we are.
They have excrement everywhere, gross. From themselves.
So can we...
Whoops! On their person.
I said use the bucket.
So I
have That's a barrel, you dumbass. Go ahead.
I have a real question. Okay, so if Lebanese wine is known for being really nice, is this going to be like the little brother? Or do we think that maybe this is just a really similar climate and someone's trying to capitalize on that?
I would never, ever start that kind of issue. So you're trying to cause trouble between Lebanon and Israel, calling Israel a little brother. They might get a little bit sensitive about that.
The winery, not the country.
I have no idea. I know that most of these grapes in the Upper Galilee were planted in the late 90s. So it's a fairly newcomer thing. Yeah. Huh. This wine, though,
Who brought wine to Israel?
Jesus? I don't know.
It was in the 90s.
No, they planted it. Somebody with a lot of money.
Someone from where?
I don't know.
The reason I'm asking is just because in South America, we find that there's a lot of like Italian and French influence. What kind of influence should we expect to see
French
here? Okay.
Just simply because there's a French influence in the Lebanese wines. And typically,
Did you say they were like Bordeaux?
Yeah. Okay. If you're starting something up, you're always going to revert back to French because, what grapes are they growing? Yeah, look, what grapes are they growing? Cabernet.
The French.
Sauvignon Blanc.
Chardonnay.
Viognier. All these things.
Chardonnay.
French varietals. There's no Sangiovese.
Yeah.
Okay. There's no Barbera. You know, so.
That's why I was asking that question.
It's always default. There's no Tempranillo. Yeah, they're doing the standards, and the standards come from France. Rightfully so.
Rightfully so.
So this wine, though, is on complete stainless steel. No oak. 100% Cabernet, at least that's what they say. 14.5% alcohol.
It hits the spot.
Yes. Underwent 7 days of fermentation in stainless steel vats. Malolactic fermentation at 6 months of aging, also in stainless steel vats, to preserve its fruity character. So it's going to be a fruit-forward wine, presumably. In the glass, though, it is dark. It is deep-looking.
It's pretty black, huh?
Yeah, it's slightly translucent. But it looks like a Cabernet, for whatever that's worth, which could also look like a Merlot. No, it doesn't. They all have different color hues, slightly. So this does look Cabernet-ish.
Yeah.
Slight bit of ruby, rouge kind of thing going
on
there.
It's a touch more purple than red.
I would say I would go with the purple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ergo, yeah. The nose is blackberry.
Mm-hmm.
Slightly yeasty. A little bit of an herbaceous spice to it, too. What was that?
Yeah, the spice is what... the blackberry and the spice is what jumped out to me.
What is that? Margarine? Scott has a better nose for that. Because he actually has an herb garden. It helps. It's a nice nose.
Yeah, somewhere simplistic. In that marjoram, oregano.
Yeah, something like that.
Oregano.
Italian blend. The Italian spices. A little cassis as well.
It's a nice nose.
It is a nice nose. It's slightly muted, but it's nice.
I was trying to like really stick my nose in because I was looking for an oak, and I don't really smell it.
That's because stainless. It's all stainless steel.
No. Oh, really? No French oak? No Hungarian, huh?
Zippity-doo-dah.
No, they that makes sense why I couldn't smell it. That's what I was looking for.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't smell the stainless steel.
Well, you do some places.
We have metallic.
Penfold's Canuga Hill. We're looking at you right now. It's like, that smells like a tuna can. It's a cleaned out tuna can.
This is gross. Mostly. But yeah, this is aluminum foil.
Yeah.
This is a really nice nose.
Yeah.
It's. Do you get a hint of like strawberry or something else in the background?
I was going
there?
To say, I almost smell strawberry rhubarb pie. That's what I almost smell in the background.
Yeah. Some,
well, the combination of things.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It reminds me, I got that too.
I'm more blackberry cassis personally.
I smell the blackberry, but there's another. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Now.
Slightly perfumey, but let's drink.
Yeah. I have certainly had way worse wine.
Absolutely.
I have more to say, but my first drink was more just like, am I going to be able to take a second drink? And
are they sure there's no oak on that?
I know. But
because that finish certainly seems like it has a tinge of French toasty oak.
It has a tinge of heat.
A little bit.
You know, and maybe that's what we're muddling with oak.
Well, no, I'm.
It's
maybe not.
It's shocking that is an un-oaked wine.
Well, it's a big chocolatey mid palate. Mm-hmm. This is about as chocolatey as I've seen for a while. Big that, blackberry fruit, chocolatey.
That baker's chocolate.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then on the finish, it's a little bit of a cayenne spice. I wouldn't call it heat. I think it's just spiciness.
I got a little heat in
my
chest.
Then it goes a little bit on that. But it's actually fairly lengthy.
Based off the nose, I thought it might be like sugary sweet tasting, and it's not. That was like my first concern too. After will I be able to take a second drink?
But it's got gobs of fruit.
Yeah,
I mean, the mouth has. I mean, first of all, body wise, this is damn near close to full body.
Mm-hmm.
Damn near.
It's got tannins.
It's got tannins. It's got a mid palate. It's got and it's actually balanced. Mm-hmm. Because it's, even though it's a bigger brutish wine, it goes all the way through. Now, one thing I'm noticing, with the blackberry, it is slightly Concord-y, a little bit of a grapiness. Now, not sweet, but you can taste the weightiness of a Concord grape.
And that kind of flavor profile, you get a kiss of that.
You do. And it is heat. It does have some heat on the finish.
It
really
does. Have some heat. That's really the only thing I would say is
yeah.
a bit of a flaw. it's not this huge.
That might work itself out, too.
It really might work itself out, you know.
I'm so interested in the decision to not oak. Because I feel like this. I'm
curious about myself. Why?
Yeah, this with oak would be really different. And I feel like it would take some of that Concord flavor out. It would take, you know.
This is the thing. Kosher wines, like your traditional church wines, like your Manischewitz, stuff like that, those are overtly sweet and grapey. Mm-hmm. Perhaps that style, that idea, what they're doing there, they want to preserve the fruit. They want the wine to be fruitier. And they don't want to complex it out. But this is also their base. So I'm presuming if you go up to their upper level stuff, let's just look here real quick. I'm betting that they put it on oak then, similar to some other, what other places do? Like Apatagua, they have that baseline, and then the Reserva, they introduce oak. And I'm assuming they might do that with this too. So let's just like the single vineyard wines. Let's look for a red one here. Whatever the hell that is. Yes, that looks like that's red right there. And this right here is Cab Cab Franc, and it's their Misgave en Vineyard. Let's look here. Okay, this wine is aged in French oak barrels for 18 months. So their higher end stuff is where they're introducing their oak. Base stuff, they're not.
I would love to have. What is their higher end price?
40 to 50.
40s. I would love to have this oaked to just to compare.
Oh, yeah.
It would be.
That would be a big wine. Mm-hmm. I mean, if this is this large, yeah, imagine what some of the stuff with some priciness to with oak, what it could be. This is really surprising. I mean, for those that drink Josh and these things where they want a bunch of fruit, this is hard to find. It's hard to get a hold of. But this is like your dream wine. And this is a lot better than that.
And it's not sugary sweet.
No.
I feel like that's, you get so much of that fruity flavor that I know people like without the sugar, which is such a, you know, deal breaker kiss of death. It just is a lot cleaner tasting.
Yeah. Wine. Now, with that, because of the lack of oak, I'd be afraid to pair this with beef and things like that. I think for me, this is more of a cheese drink only wine. It needs a little bit of a punch of char, really. And it does have gobs of fruit. And sometimes for me, really overtly fruity wines tend to gunk up what you're eating there. But maybe a cheeseburger. That'd be nice. Cheeseburger.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't do a steak with this. But I like it. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, no more than you would do a steak with.
I was debating an entry level lamb, maybe. And I think it's just because we had lamb last night.
Oh, yeah. Well, the sweetness of lamb, that might work. We did. I did lamb chops last night on the grill, and I bought 9, thinking that would be enough, and I have a Luke. Luke ate 4 lamb chops. Yummy.
Rob also cut it small enough, and it's tender enough he could eat it a lot easier.
And William ate 2 or 3. Henry then ate it off the bone, just like you would, like a wild animal.
That's how you eat them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Be true to yourself.
I told William, you know, what you just ate was lamb. And he goes, "What? Who killed it? Is it dead?" I went, "Well, sure as hell."
Oh, my God. I
hope it's alive. It sure is not apt.
You had that conversation. I said, William,
it makes it a lot easier to eat it if it's dead because it keeps running from you if it's alive. But he goes, "Who killed it?" I went, "Scott." Scott killed it.
Mm-hmm.
But I said it was in a green field when he did it. Birds were chirping. It was so peaceful.
My Lord.
Jesus. Who killed it?
I'm trying to think if we've had anything that I would compare this to. You said Josh, but it's been such a long time since
slow down. No, I'm not going to insult this
you
wine.
You said the fruitiness of Josh. It's been a really long time since I've had that. I don't know. I was just trying to think through.
No, Josh is trash. You know what this reminds me of? Mouthfeel and body-wise, but not necessarily fruit profile, because those tend to be drier because of the oak. Mm-hmm. Alexander Valley Cabs. Mm. But more of the juiciness. Those have a little more of a black fruit kind of savoriness to go along with it.
The other thing I would say about this is I really thought that when we drank this, it was going to really stretch our flavor profiles and our palates. I don't necessarily think that. Mm-hmm. It what I would say about this instead is that it is wildly approachable.
Oh.
Like, this is a very easy drinking wine that I don't think people are going to be like, oh, God, what's this? I can't imagine that person.
No.
It's a really, really nice drinking wine.
Scott's somewhat silent over there. Oh, by the way, we didn't write down everybody's score.
It's too late for that now.
It's too late. Yeah, I feel like we've all tipped our hand.
It would not be the vote of integrity.
72.
Mm. So, yeah, just in looking at what makes kosher wine and what makes kosher meats, I think completely you could have a kosher dairy and a kosher winery side by side. You just couldn't. You know, for kosher wine, you simply can't use any animal-based additives.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Egg, oh, okay. Like, don't they egg sometimes is okay, put that though. Fish something in wine?
Oh, it's like an egg fish. It's like an extract kind of thing.
Egg albumins. Yeah. It's just for settling out impurities.
Yes. Yeah. That is
in
often.
In theory.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Egg white, I think.
Something like that.
Yeah. Egg albumin?
I don't know. Somebody knows more than somebody knows more than us. Somebody that's less interesting than us knows.
I know. I'm going to Google it now.
And if you just yelled it out, that you're who I'm talking about.
But it's also, you know, the equipment needs to be
clean.
And blessed by has to be kosher. Rabbi. Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Wait a minute. We got this guy that marries people on the internet to bless our stuff. His name was Joey or Tony something. He came over here and he said, I bless it.
Here's another question for you.
Yes, go ahead.
So in my research, so people often have a negative connotation of kosher wine.
They do, because of Manischewitz and Mogadishu.
Well, because it's boiled. They boil the wine.
Well.
But this, I guess, would have to be boiled.
No.
Or is it not?
No.
No.
Because if you boil the wine, then the alcohol comes off. No, it's just...
What do you mean? We boil our wine?
It just needs to be produced under the...
Yeah, it has to be the cleanliness.
Yes. Jewish dietary laws. Yes. Kashrut.
I think that's
fine. You can't boil the wine.
Hand it over here. Hand me the bottle and I'll Google. I'll tell you. I'll be the intern. Yes, you boil the wine. That makes it kosher.
No.
Okay.
No.
What do I get when I'm right? I forgot I found that before.
You become an honorary Israeli. Oh.
Like Gal Gadot.
You're not. She's not an honorary Israeli. She
no,
is.
I think
an Israeli.
She is Israeli, but I would get to be like her.
Like yes, who? You can do Imagine. How everybody sing Imagine when everybody's dying of COVID to make everybody feel better. Worked for me. I was feeling down, then I saw that, and I went, "No, it didn't help." I watched Wonder Woman 84, and I said, "That didn't help."
Oh, if it's Nevishal, that means it is.
Nevishal? What are we talking about Lord of the Rings?
This wine is not Nevishal. It says on the back. So that means it's not boiled.
Okay.
And that means, hold on, I'll tell you the rest of it. It can be handled by non-Jewish or non-observant waiters.
Oh.
And so they would consider it changed or damaged. There you go.
That's very complicated.
Well, I mean, it says it on the back. The rabbi that signed off on it notated it.
Oh, there we go.
So it's a thing.
Hmm. Yeah, but I don't think it... But kosher wine inherently is not boiled. That's a specific process for making it unfit for idolatrous use.
I've had some wine. I know that it's been boiled.
I think, why no, you've been boiled by wine.
Potted is the term.
The only other thing on the back of this bottle is it says it has hints of tobacco. I don't get the tobacco. Mm.
It does not have hints of tobacco.
Why do people say these things?
It does not.
And it's not just this one, but it's...
It has hints of fruit and then suggestions of fruit. And then...
You all said cayenne. I almost think it's like some of the Spanish wine that we've had that has a white pepper. It's almost that to me.
It's got that too.
And I think also Rob kind of predicted us that heat, that pepperiness has calmed down.
Yeah, calmed down.
Mm-hmm. And I love
folks,
that.
That's just not unusual for you to get something that's really strong, and then as your palate opens up, as the wine opens up, you realize it's just you're overwhelmed by one sensation, so to speak.
It's not unusual for the wine to change once it's open.
Okay, your jingle's bad too.
I just wanted to sing it. It's not unusual. Okay.
Is Tom Albert Humperdinck from Upper Galilee?
See, now you've lost
la,
it.
La, 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 la.
That was bad song when they did it, worse song when you do it.
Here's my next Tom question Jones leading into our potpourri.
Albert, nope.
Oh, what's that?
Do you want to do a commercial break, or do we go straight into it?
Oh, we're going to do a commercial break.
Okay, let's do our commercial break, and then we'll go to our potpourri.
Maybe we will. Maybe I want Scott to sing more. Maybe I just want That's a maybe, dumbass. So, we're going to take a break and be right back on the Wine Vault.
Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back.
And we're back, folks. So, Becky has an interesting potpourri. Well, no, we're going to discuss our New Year since this is the first season or first episode of season 5. But Scott, you sent me a quizzical text yesterday.
I did.
Apparently, someone that you know has a picture of you that makes you. What is the story behind that? You asked me a question. Did I share a picture of you?
My cousin and I were talking about Trevor Lawrence's bad mustache, and it reminded him of when we were younger and we had bad mustaches, except ours is darker than Trevor Lawrence's. You had a picture of me with a pencil mustache, and I asked you to send it to my cousin. You were hesitant to do so.
You said, did you send that to my cousin? That's what you said.
I meant to say, would you?
Well, I don't have his cell phone number, so unless I was using telepathy.
I thought you did from the football game.
I know. Unless I was using telepathy and just sending it out to him, I would not have.
That's a QWERTY text there.
Why don't you just grow it again and then take a picture of your face?
Wouldn't be the same.
You might need that facial hair for the top of your head. Although your hair has grown back since your white supremacist moment. So,
it's not a white supremacist moment. It was a bad COVID haircut.
You're right. It isn't a moment. It's a lifetime. So,
and besides, you mostly said that was more of a cancer treatment haircut.
No.
Yes.
I don't make fun of them. I make fun of white
supremacists. You were making fun of me.
Yes. Yes.
How would you make fun of white supremacists by calling my haircut white supremacist-like?
I think he wasn't making fun of white supremacists. I think he was making fun of you.
But he said he was making fun of white supremacists. That's curious.
Oh, because it was an insult to them based on how bad your hair was.
I think so.
Well, I think
it was
both.
I don't know what his
I'm insulting white supremacists by linking you with them. And then, obviously, I'm insulting white supremacists. So I'm insulting you. So, Triple B.
Yep.
She wanted to talk about our New Year's Eve. Scott's still trying to put that together. But, yes, on New Year's Eve, what did we do? How did we drink? I did drink.
Proficiously.
Yeah, yes. Scott, what did you drink? Do you even know?
Over.
Troublemaker.
The course of New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And New Year's Day. We did some sparkling. Yeah. I was in possession of a reasonable bottle of Prosecco. It was a Christmas gift. It was fine. It was nice. It wasn't as sweet as sometimes Prosecco is. It was quite fine.
Was it Josh Prosecco?
No, it was a Ruffini.
Ruffino.
Yeah, Ruffino.
Was it a yellow label?
Came with a nice Ruffino gift bag.
Oh,
yeah,
that's lovely.
Yeah, it was. It was kind of a antique gold color. Beautiful, really. The second sparkler is, we've done on the show, my favorite California sparkler. Some might refer to it as champagne, but
Andre?
It's not. Rotor Estate.
Oh, that. Okay.
Anderson Valley.
I thought it was your second favorite.
It was beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Rotor Estate, Anderson Valley. Rotor Estate is fantastic. Someday we'll have to splurge and get La Hermitage by Rotor Estate.
Okay.
Or just buy Rotor from France, from Champagne.
Ooh.
But La Hermitage might be worth that because it's amazing.
Very nice.
It's collectible.
We also had open over those 2 days, Bottle Sauvignon Blanc. Might be somebody's former favorite Sauvignon Blanc. There was another gift from Kimmy Crawford.
Okay. Who gave you Kimmy?
My mom. So curiously, I gave my mom 2 bottles of that for Christmas, and mom got a bottle of that for my wife.
Oh, that's funny.
I showed that to my mom. She did a backyard COVID visit at some point in the summer, and I showed her Kim Crawford Sauvignon Blanc and made an impression on the young lass. So we gave so gifts funny. For each other. So
we've and then we also before. Haven't we given each other the same thing before? I feel like we both got each other the same.
We both got each other Eternal Happiness. Is that what you're talking about? Yes. I kept the receipt.
I was thinking we got each other the same game one time. We were like maybe dating or married.
I got you a spatula one time. Maybe you got me a spatula back.
No, go ahead. Okay. Anyways, that's so nice though. What a great gift.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we, Paola Aristopirche, the Reserva.
Finally, Cabernet a red wine. Sauvignon. That's well, no. The Aristopirche that you're talking about is a Bordeaux style blend. Is it the tan label? That one?
No, not that one.
Oh, the white label?
Mm-hmm.
The Husanet? Oh, okay, that's a Cabernet.
Yeah,
it's a Cabernet. Yeah, the Husanet I like. The Pecky didn't like that. We almost said that as the second wine tonight, but, you know.
So did you do wine on New Year's Day?
Those 4 bottles were over the course of New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. I think.
I'm so surprised you didn't do like a Bloody Mary bar on New Year's Day.
I haven't had a Bloody Mary in a long time.
Nope, didn't. We have Bloody Mary mix. Have the vodka. Princess was doing this beachy thing. She had pineapple and orange juice and cranberry juice.
Yeah.
Oof.
I saw the Pearl downtown had, you could buy their Bloody Mary mix to go.
Oh, wow.
And it had like, it was a super cute package too. Like it was a big mason jar full of their mix.
Okay.
And then it had like little like pearl onions and then like a little container of pickles and whatever. I thought that was a super, super cool gift. I don't know if vodka was included or not, but I was like, that is a fantastic fun thing to pick up for somebody.
Pearl onions are wonderful.
I've never had the pearls.
I haven't either, but I'm sure it's divine.
You ever had a pearl onion with an olive in a martini?
Yes.
It's
fantastic.
It is good.
Love pearl onions, don't I?
Yes, you do. You love them.
My mom makes beef stroganoff with pearl onions, and it makes me, it is such a nod to my childhood. I love pearl onions, and they're not that easy to find.
Trader Joe's carries them.
Mm-hmm.
Is
that where you got the fresh ones?
No, I got them at Kroger.
Oh.
Yeah, occasionally you'll see them mainstream.
Got heirloom tomatoes at Kroger.
Very nice.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
Little slices of mozz, and I drizzled Turley's Napa Valley olive oil on it.
You know, we were talking about what to do that with. It's freaking perfect.
That's why,
like
why
salad
I'm using
dressings
it for.
And, you know, that little feta olive artichoke dish. Pff, that beautiful,
it's,
right?
It's toppings only. I'm never going to cook with it. It's just going to be flavor. But what did I drink? I, of course, drank. Well, Becky was a little dismayed. But Chateau de la Roque, the Bordeaux Superior. Of course I'm going to drink that.
Of course.
And then we did a Chandon Brut Rosé.
And it was so much better than what I expected.
You enjoyed it. It was nice.
Well, it's because you've been brainwashed by Rob to think that rosé is in
a brut rosé. It's not a still rosé.
Forever. But it was so pretty. It was such a pretty light pink, super bubbly.
It was nice.
Very dry. Nice.
Good strawberry expression, though.
It was so good.
It's good. It's actually for $17.99. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like brut rosés, though.
Who's making Chandon?
Chandon.
Okay.
You can buy it everywhere.
You can find that.
Yeah.
And then Rob put the stopper in it, and I had some the next day. Like, a little bit fine. The next day. It was really nice.
The vacuum bin.
Really good.
And then for the OSU Clemson game, by the way, Dabo Sweeney, sad face. I drank a whole bottle of Presidential Ruby Port.
You broke out the Presidential?
Oh, yeah.
How many do you have left now?
One of Tawny, one of Ruby.
Oh, okay.
I drank the whole damn bottle. And I found I need to medicate myself during games. I was pretty relaxed, more or less.
I could stand being around you.
Oh, yeah. I didn't leave the room. I didn't get upset. I made the bed.
I did some laundry.
Mellow.
Listeners, I'm sure you're interpreting and you're reading between the lines. Medicated might be a better...
Drunk.
Yeah. A complete 750 of port.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Over about 5 hours. 4 hours. 4 hours.
The game was three.
I know. I didn't go to bed. I was still reveling and texting with Shakespeare and Phil. So, you know.
He didn't set a little thimbleful of the port out for him to come and share. He loves the port, too.
Well, I think he was in Cleveland yesterday. So
didn't he say something like, why are you drinking that without me? Or
well, I have the true gentleman's port, which is named after me, strangely enough. Rodney Strong reached out to me and said, Rob, the wine guy, we need to name a port. And we think that it would be best if we called it a true gentleman's port, since you are a true gentleman. And I said, not sure about that, but okay. I'll go with it. But I told him about that. So, and he thought I had drank that, too, even though...
Well, speaking like that, it sounds like
he said, don't drink
it
all. I said, I have three bottles, and I'm not drinking that tonight. I just mentioned it. Whisper tone. He has a damn half case of port. Seriously, he has six bottles of cheap port. Just like I do. Although I don't have six bottles anymore because I drank half of it. But still, need to get some Club Tawnies just to kind of, you know. That's the thing. When you're talking about inexpensive port, there's so many ones that are fun. But Presidential, they're hard to find. But Presidential is the best. Ruby and Tawny, the best. And it's like 10, 11 bucks. The best. I mean, it's nothing's better. Nothing is better. I love... Penfold's Club? No. Doesn't touch it.
We like Coburn's too.
Yeah, doesn't touch it.
Right on.
This is better. This is the best. If you see it, it's going to look jank. Buy everything that they've got. That's what I did in Myrtle. I bought everything that they had in Tawny and Ruby. All of it. Unfortunately, Phil kind of reserved half of it. But still.
Did you medicate during the game, Scott?
Not really.
I think he smoked pot.
No.
No.
I mean.
You don't need to.
You're a Penn State fan. Probably had a little more of the Rotors State than Princess did.
You popped. You were drinking Sparkler? Celebrating?
This is through the day.
Oh, okay.
And then. I had a glass of the Ars de Pirque and probably a little more. We probably about split the Sauvignon Blanc because she got into it before I did. I was pacing myself. I think it would be a nice way to put it.
Yeah.
I was not really hopeful during the game. And then it happened.
Take the edge off. Drink a whole bottle of port by yourself. You'll feel fine and you'll feel very confident and happy. That's all I got to say, man. You don't need to look at your phone. You don't need to be superstitious. Just get drunk off your ass on something that you love to drink. You'd be just fine, man. Even if you lose.
You're still just fine.
You're just fine.
You're still winning.
Yep. You know what the winner was? Port.
You.
Port was the winner. And Shakespeare and Phil, he was, you know, I think they're going to go to Napa and Sonoma again next summer because they were there last year. They loved it. And, he goes, you should go. You should, you know, put all the kids. He goes, you know, mom and dad, our parents, your parents can watch the kids. I just changed their faucet. They owe me. I said, that's more of a, I gave you my kidney kind of thing. But I said, you know, and then he has a multitude of automobiles. He's a little bit obsessive about that. And I used to be that way too, but I don't. Anyway, I said, look, I have a bunch of children. And I said, if you were a 1920s farmer, you would need all the children I have.
But he's not. Well, nor are you.
Well, that's true.
So,
hey. I also said if we were in like 16th century England.
It's true. I have plenty of...
heirs.
I guess.
Well, he's got heirs all right.
Carry on my name. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Even Bobo.
Taking care of that. Sort of. Even Bobo, who's... You know what? Bobo gets so excited. Beauregard gets so excited to come down here. And you know what he does? He is unconscious, asleep on the couch. I mean, he's
so
completely
happy.
Out.
He got his ear rub in.
Yeah.
I gave him his ear rub. He's good.
His big bushy tail is hanging off the couch.
I think there was something outside in the backyard tonight pestering him because he was pissed.
He gets excited to come down here and mm-hmm. sleep.
Yeah.
That's all he does. He
well,
sleeps.
Think how comfortable that couch is lovely to sleep on.
Yeah. And he's buried his head in its big leather couch mm-hmm. and he's buried his head in a blanket and he just flopped out. That's the side he sleeps on, the right side of the couch.
Always.
And he's just happy as a lark. Yeah. Oh, well. Nevertheless, folks, we're going to take a break. And then we're going to come back and review the Gailly Mountain Winery Cabernet Sauvignon here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, the review of the Gailly Mountain Winery. I stop after Gailly Mountain, apparently. The Gailly Mountain Winery, their Cabernet Sauvignon, their base level from Upper Galilee in Israel. We're going to go around the room. We're going to get some scores. We're going to start off with the world famous, the world popular, the world known Triple B.
So... I think that we all would kind of agree that this being an un-oaked cab makes it a little bit challenging to score because we haven't really had anything like it. Well, I'm not going to be perestroika.
I'm just whistling.
So some things that I really love about this, I think the blackberry is so good because it's not sweet. And I think anytime you can do a nice expression of fruit without it being sugary sweet – is just, you know, like a check mark, check mark, check mark. I love that it's full body. The tannins are very nice. They've mellowed out for me as we've been drinking it, but they're still there. When I was scoring this, I was kind of between 2 points. And I kept thinking that this wine makes me want to drink more from this winery, more from this country. And so that bumped it up for me. Anytime that you drink a wine that makes you want to explore more of that winery, more of that region, that's such a good thing.
Mm-hmm. True.
So I gave this an 87.
Oh.
Recommend it. I think it's really, really different in such a good way. I was expecting this to be like barely drinkable. And so it was really, really a nice... surprise. I don't feel like we often get that nice surprise. And the other takeaway that I wrote on my scoring notes is, why hasn't the Rob the Wine Guy bought or shared Lebanese wine with us?
Well, I don't have any.
And that's me slamming my clipboard.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
I'll buy Mussar. It's like 70 bucks.
Okay.
I'll show you.
On to Scott.
I'm at 87 also. I think it's a nice budget/entry price representation of cab. I wouldn't say this is my favorite. I wish it were oaked. Yeah. And you know, we talked about a little bit of heat at first. That's plainly not there now that this has opened up. But it's also, I think, I lost a little bit of that finish, a little bit of that spicy
You've
finish
got to,
that we enjoyed.
If you redraw air, you have to draw tons of air. Quaffing it won't do it. One thing I will say about this, I don't know if I would decant it. I would probably do it straight out of the bottle because it's going to maintain a little of that intensity. But if you draw air, you re-engage with that wine, yeah.
It's nice. I don't know if I had any expectations for this at all. I just was interested in it. We don't have anything to compare it to from Israel. But this is, if this is their entry price point.
Oh yeah, yeah. The rest of stuff you say.
I'd be interested in trying something else from Gailil Mountain Winery. Mm-hmm. By the way, it's spelled G-A-L-I-L. I think it's Gailil.
It is Gailil.
Gailil?
Yeah. Well, in France. In American, it would be Galil. But on the French trend.
Gail.
Gail, but essentially. But if you have on the Apple phone, the iPhone, you say English to France, it says Gailil. So that's why we went with Gailil.
Probably
they didn't have Yiddish or what is it?
Yiddish
isn't optional.
I was on the website and I got the Yiddish version or the Hebrew version.
Gailil, I would believe it would be. So
I don't know.
And I assume that's the way I pronounce it all the way through the show. I can't quite remember. But nevertheless, on to me. I had two scores in mind, but I went with a lower one. I don't know why, but it seems like this. This is one of those wines where it has a ceiling. The fruit is lovely. And for a wine, if you wanted to say to someone, hey, I know you drink Riesling. I know that you like, you know, amusing glasses to drink out of. I know that you like things out of a box. But, you know, there's a whole world out there. You've seen Little Mermaid. I know you do. I mean, you have figurines from the movie and you sing the songs and... You should try Cabernet, and I have this Cabernet that you'll like, that you'll at least be able to appreciate, and maybe stop doing that shit and throw away some of the Beanie Babies that you keep on your bed.
What?
Yes, Gailil Mountain does that. It's beyond that, though. I mean, anyone that doesn't take themselves too seriously and likes good fruit. This is wine for you. If you like things that are softer, that are very appealing, and you don't want to think about it, Gailil Mountain's good.
It's straightforward, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's straightforward, but it has some complexity. It doesn't have oak, but it still does a lot without having oak in it. The best thing I can say about this wine especially is the fact that it makes you want to drink the better stuff. Because if this is the grape stock they're starting with, mm-hmm. and just in a purest sense, this is what they can produce just with... out any manipulation,
yep.
just there you go. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a damn fine expression mm-hmm. of fruit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't go too far. It doesn't show residual sugar. It shows enough sweetness from the fruit without going over that line. It doesn't even really straddle the line. It goes a comfortable margin from that line. I don't know what that margin is. I just know that I'm comfortable with where it is. I'm giving this also an 87.
Oh.
It wasn't quite
an
88.
Did you take back your perestroika?
No. I thought you'd give it an 82 or something. No, I knew you liked it. There's so many people that I know that would find this wine to be appealing. Superstar would like it.
Yeah.
Deb would like
it. Who wouldn't like this?
That's what I was thinking about it.
And not because it's manipulated in any way.
People that take themselves... too seriously would not like this wine. They do. The people that take themselves too seriously would not like this wine.
Well, that would be mostly you.
No.
Sorry.
Me? No.
We take ourselves seriously.
Too seriously.
See? If we take ourselves serious at all, we're taking ourselves too seriously.
William would like this wine. That's the problem. Okay. He probably would. Yeah, I like the wine. He loves the sparkling grape juice, the red.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're aficionados of that, and he drinks it out of a wine goblet. Fancy. And, oh, they just love doing that. And so then we did a sparkling apple. It wasn't as well received.
He was the only one that liked it.
Yeah, William was the only one that liked it.
It's because it has bubbles and you could drink it out of a wine glass.
Well, Henry didn't like it. He goes, I prefer the red. And Luke, he's like, no. Luke, he's like, no. But they like to do a cheers.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as it's in their glass, Luke, he's holding it up to do a cheers.
Luke hasn't a sippy.
Yeah. Cheers. Yeah, so Luke, he didn't get a glass. But I use those little novelty glasses for him. But they're still glasses.
Yeah.
William drank most of the bottle. He loves it. We still have a bottle of Concord, and it's so sweet. But still, it makes him feel fancy. This wine, though, is fancy. It's good wine. Tip of the cap.
Yeah.
To Gaye Mountain Winery.
Could you say anything other than that?
No. Strong effort. And by the way, folks, if you just go to the grocery store and you just buy Cabernet, you know, like you're fumbling in the dark and just, oh, okay, I'll buy this fucker. Okay. Oh. And you take it home, you go, whoa, why did I buy that? Look this shit up. Find it and buy it.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And the fact is, it's going to teach you something about what Cabernet is while not challenging you excessively.
Yep.
And you still have some money in your pocket. It's a great, great offering, great wine, and it gets into the bookshelf of distinction. It's no longer the wall of fame. It's the bookshelf of distinction. Wines that we've enjoyed, maybe not scored high, bookshelf of distinction, Scott.
We're starting to have too many categories. If we have a bookshelf of distinction, that's just too many categories.
Well, I know it's complicated for you. I know.
No, it's just too many categories. We're inventing things.
But we have a lot of bookshelves, so we'll be all right.
Is this like a participation medal?
It's the yellow ribbon. Yes.
It's the yellow ribbon.
Yeah, tie it in your hair. So, folks, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, we are going to bid you adieu. However, we will see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.